Okay, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This morning, we'll be discussing different types of prayer that we use and find ourselves using every day in different ways and different situations we face on a daily basis. I found that God's word is like a medicine, like an antibiotic that we can use in different life situations that we face, and we need God's word in our lives. So at times, we're not aware of all types of prayer that we can use to when we pray for such a situation. So this morning we're going to briefly touch on the different types of prayer that we can use. We'll be discussing the prayer of agreement, the prayer of faith, the prayer of consecration and dedication, the prayer of intercession, the prayer of binding and loosing, the prayer of praise and worship, and prayer of praise and thanksgiving, the prayer of meditation and waiting, the prayer of healing, the prayer of forgiveness, and the prayer of direction and guidance. So all these different types of prayer. Sometimes we can pray one type of prayer, sometimes we use different types of prayer. We'll be finding ourselves praying a prayer of faith and a prayer of agreement. So these different types of prayers can be used in different ways, and sometimes a combination of all using three different types of prayer in different things that we're praying for.
Right, now in case you're thinking that this is the star pulpit, right? And that this was Brian's benefit, it wasn't, okay? as Sandy's explained to you, there are lots and lots of different sorts of prayer. And to be quite honest, if we wanted to go through them all in detail, it wouldn't be a two-hour Sunday morning service. It would take an awful long time to go through them. So just to give you a little bit of a taster, really, this morning, we've taken one each of the different sorts of prayer. But what we wanted you to do, to just bring to your attention some of the sorts of prayer that there are and that we can use. And to be quite honest, I think that our prayer life is one of the most important aspects of us as a Christian. And if your prayer life is weak, then you will be a weak Christian, because your prayer life is so, so important. So we've looked at different aspects. And as Sandy said, I've typed some of these up so you can see them in case you couldn't remember, because we're going to ask you to do something. All right? Prayer of direction and guidance. Prayer of forgiveness. We all need that constantly. Prayer of healing. Prayer of meditation and waiting on God. Prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Prayer of binding and loosing. Prayer of intercession. Prayer of praise and worship. Prayer of consecration and dedication. Prayer of agreement. And prayer of faith. And you'll see around the room there are some verses from scripture. So it's a little bit of an interactive service, all right, this morning. I know you've been up and you've been marching around, but what we want you to do is, on the front here are all those words that I've just shown to you stuck to the front. So what we'd like you to do is to come and take one of those and then walk around the room and identify the verse that you think that belongs to and stick it up beside it, okay? Because every one of these things that we've shown you today and that we're going to talk about, we've backed them up with scripture, because that's where the basis comes from. You know, God has told us how to pray, and he's shown us in so much detail how to pray and what we need to do to make ourselves strong in him. So there's 11 up here, so I need at least 11 people. And if you're sat near a verse and you've already read it and you've identified, as I've been talking, what you think that belongs to, then come and take the word that applies to it and stick it up beside the verse. Okay? You may move now. It's how you see things, and that's absolutely fine. We chose the scriptures that we thought applied to those different sorts of prayer, but you obviously are going to have different ideas. But you know, that's what it's all about. It's exploring. And it's exploring what God is going to say to us and what he's going to lead us to. Now, the one that I picked this morning is prayer of meditation and waiting. Okay? And, you know, when I sort of look at something like that, and I looked at the subject, I suppose for me, I've got to apply it to something that that is in my life to help me to understand it. So, a prayer of meditation and waiting. And as I said, prayer is such a huge subject. It would take us a long, long time to go through all of these. So it's just a taster for you to take away and hopefully continue to look at. And when I thought about a prayer of meditation and waiting, then that made me think. It made me think about relationship. So the only way that I could gauge that would be to look at my own relationships. And when I was thinking of waiting, meditating, soaking, then to be quite honest, soaking and meditating made me think about my own relationship, and the soaking part made me think about something else that I'll explain to you in a minute. Not a bath. But, you know, it made me think about my own relationship, and I was sort of thinking, how much of a relationship do I have with God? How deep is that relationship, and how deep do I want it to be? And it took me back to the time, and I suppose, because it's a love relationship, the only relationship that I could sort of gauge that with is my relationship with my husband, my love relationship with him. And I thought, you know, when we first met, Malcolm lived in Scotland, and I lived in Southampton. And we met on a holiday. But it meant as soon as the holiday was over, I came back to Southampton and Malcolm stayed in Scotland. And it was 1965 we actually met. So we didn't have mobile phones. We didn't have Skype. We didn't have anything like that. So our communication had to be by letter or by public telephone box. Right? So, to be quite honest, we wrote to each other most every single day and tried to phone each other most every single day. But that's quite difficult when you're doing it from a phone box, right? So I would go to the phone box at the bottom of my road and Malcolm would go to a phone box near him and I would wait outside this phone box at the bottom of my street and wait for Malcolm to ring it. And the phone call was put through by the operator. Right, and you know, the worst thing was when I got to the phone box at the bottom of the street and somebody had vandalised it, or it was out of order, and I'm thinking, what do I do now? What do I do now? I've got to let him know that I actually did come to the phone box. I haven't stood him up, and I would run to the next phone box, which was about a mile away, so that I could then ring the phone box that he was at, because we wanted to speak to each other. We wanted that relationship. And to be quite honest, that was 18 months of really quite total frustration because we just spent our time running from phone box to phone box. And if the operator put us through and then forgot us, it was absolutely brilliant because you put your money in and she would come back and say, do you wish to put more money in? We'd go, no. And then she'd perhaps go away for a minute and forget us, you know, and you'd be talking for eight, and it was brilliant. And you sort of think, that was the only way that we could build our relationship because we wanted to be together and we wanted to talk to each other. And, you know, that reminded me of my relationship with God. You know, I want that relationship with him. And if I want that relationship with him, then I have got to take the time and we have got to take the time to build that relationship up because it won't happen if we don't take the effort. You know, we can all come into church, and I talk to myself here too. We can all come into church and sit in the seat and sing the songs and walk around with the flags and be really happy, happy. But if we want that relationship, that deep, deep, deep meditating, waiting relationship with God that builds up and builds up, then we have got to spend the time making that happen. Because if we don't, it won't happen. It just won't happen. And then I was thinking about the soaking part, and as I say, I wasn't talking about a bath. Any of you here do cooking? right? Some people do, some people don't. Some people like to do barbecues. Some people, that's all they ever do as a cook, you know, is do the barbecue in the summer, and the rest of the year they don't do anything. But it just made me think, the soaking part made me think about cooking. Because have you ever made a marinade? If you've ever made a marinade, then a marinade is a mixture of lovely herbs and spices and normally vinegar. And then you lay your meat in the marinade. And the vinegar in the marinade breaks the meat down and tenderizes it. And obviously the herbs and the spices start to infuse into whatever it is that you've marinated. And you know, that just made me think about the waiting and the soaking in God. You know, that the longer and the more we do that, the more it changes us as a person. Because if you do the same with vegetables, now anybody, I suppose it's a bit like Marmite, you either hate them or you like them, but, you know, if you take the little baby cucumbers and you soak them in vinegar, they totally change, and I can't think what they're called now. Gherkins. They become gherkins, and people go, oh, gherkins. Totally changes the taste. And it soaks deep into the flesh of the cucumber and the flavour of the pickling solution. So it doesn't taste like raw cucumber anymore. And then you sort of think, well, why are you telling me that? But I was looking at the soaking aspect. You know, the more that we soak in God, the more we wait on God, the more we spend time with God, the more that changes us as people, and we take on the aroma and more of Christ himself, because we've spent time doing exactly that. And to be quite honest, I think in every single one of us as Christians, there is a deep, deep need to be close to God, and we need to spend time meditating, waiting in the wonderful presence of God and soaking up the Holy Spirit. You know, Brian was talking about the Holy Spirit and how he guides and directs us and shows us how to pray. And that is so, so relevant. And the more you do that, the more he shows you, the more we get used to being shown. Because if that's a new experience, then you perhaps don't know what to do with it. But when the more you do that, the more you take on the essence and the flavour of Christ itself. And it says in 2 Corinthians, actually, chapter 2, it says, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma that brings death, and to the other an aroma that brings life. And when we spend time meditating on God's word, waiting in this wonderful presence of God and soaking up the Holy Spirit, it can only be a good thing. It's never, ever a waste of time. Never think of it as a waste of time. And, you know, we've been looking over the past few weeks at prayer. And as I said earlier, to be totally honest, if your prayer life is weak, then we will be weak Christians. And, you know, Jesus says to us, ask and you will receive. And we're good at the asking, but sometimes we're not so good at the receiving. But there is so, so much that God wants to give to us. So, so much. And when we discipline ourselves, then that can come about. We all know Psalm 23 really, really well. And you could probably recite it to me. And the first part of it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. And there are times when we just have to say, God, this is time for you. I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to wait. And I am going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead me to the Father. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to direct our thoughts, then he will give us scripture to meditate on. You know, we've backed all of these up with scripture to meditate on. You know, and he will give you scripture to meditate on. And again, you can't have the scripture to meditate on. It will come through your thinking unless you've already been reading it. So again, that's an encouragement. Take your Bible, read it, because that is stored then in your heart. And then the Holy Spirit can prompt you to go and look at that scripture again. But if you've never read it, then it's difficult to be prompted on something that you haven't read. And just like I said, you know, you grow to love someone by spending time together, by bonding together. But your heart must be engaged. It's a heart to heart. And when you love someone, you do want to be with them every minute of every day, every second. You want to talk to them, you want to be with them. And you know, that's what our relationship with God is. It's a love relationship. You know, I want to speak to him all the time. And it's like this continuous conversation. But there are times when he says, just be still, just sit quietly and listen to what I've got to say. Matthew 22 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. That's huge, isn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And I would say, don't treat that lightly. Psalm 4 says, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Psalm 37 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Matthew 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God's not telling us this for nothing. All of those scriptures, he's not telling you them for nothing. They're not just empty words. He is telling us this because when we take those on board and we do what he's telling us, then that will grow us in him. You know, that will make us bigger Christians, stronger Christians. And it will help us to live that life that is effective out there for him. You know, to bring other people, to be that aroma that Christ is offering to us. Psalm 27 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then in Isaiah 40, this is one of my favourite portions of scripture. Verse 29 says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I would say, take those scriptures, pray them over your life, because there is such power in praying scripture over your life and praying scripture through for the situations that you find yourself in. And, you know, if we want our lives to be strong as Christians, then we need to invest the time in spending time with God, in praying. And if you want the viewpoint of the eagle, it says there, they shall mount up on wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. And if you want the viewpoint of the eagle, then you need to spend time with your Heavenly Father. I need to spend time with my Heavenly Father because I want the viewpoint of the eagle. I want to see things from that overall picture that he sees things from, not from the little tiny picture that I see. I want the overall picture. And if you want that overall picture, that eagle's eye view, then you have to spend time with God and allow the Holy Spirit to draw you into that deeper, deeper relationship with him. That's all I'm going to say, and I'm going to hand over to Sandy. Oops. I'll take my own notes and not yours, Sandy, don't worry.
Well, I'll be speaking about prayer of intercession and prayer of praise and worship. But I'll start off with prayer of intercession. As Jean just said, God wants intimacy with us. He wants to connect with you and with me, to make him part of all areas of our lives. An early example of this is the example he had with Adam in Genesis. As you remember reading through Genesis, God was connecting all times with Adam in the Garden of Eden. And then presently, the example we also have is with Jesus, how he connected with his son. He wanted intimacy with his son, he wanted intimacy with Adam, and he connected with them all the time. And Jesus would consult with him all the time. Today, we still have a connection with him through the Holy Spirit. He wants to be your friend. He wants to speak to you as he spoke to Adam and Jesus. He wants to be involved in every area of your life daily. He wants you to tell him about your joys, what makes you smile, what makes you happy, how your day has been. He's also been there. He wants to be there with you through those not-so-good times. The times when you're feeling sad, the times when you're feeling angry, angry at your child, angry at your boss, angry at your spouse. He wants to hear about those things. Why are you feeling like that? He doesn't want you to be alone in whatever you're facing. He wants to be there to comfort you, as he is our comforter. He's our companion, he's our friend, and he's our counselor to help us through all the different situations that we find difficult, as I've said. He wants to have an intimacy with us. Once upon a time, a few years ago, when I was working in the shipping industry, one of my clients, who was a very wealthy man, he had everything going for himself. And as I met up with him, he knew I was a Christian. He said, "How can I pray to God?" And he said to me, "I don't know how to speak to him. What must I say? Must I ask him for permission to speak to him? Will he want to listen to me?" And that made me very, very sad. I thought, this man has everything in his life, every earthly position he would want to have, but he doesn't have a relationship with our God, and he doesn't know how to connect with our God. That's sad. I said to him, "Well, like you and I are talking right now, you find the time that's convenient to you, the place where you feel you can connect with him alone, and you just speak to him like you and I are speaking, just a normal conversation, just wanting to hear your voice. And you just have to find that time to be able to just connect with him freely." And that did help, because eventually he came back to me and said, "Yeah, it's working. I'm actually starting to enjoy this new conversations I'm having with Jesus." And that was great to hear, because sometimes people do not know, or maybe they feel they are unworthy of speaking to God because God doesn't want to hear from them. But God does want to hear from every single one of us. He wants that intimacy with every single one of us. At times, we might find ourselves praying for different things more specifically, as when we're praying on behalf of someone who at that time might not be able to pray for themselves, as they can't have enough energy to muster through whatever they're facing. For example, someone who's battling an illness, for example, two friends of mine at the moment battling with cancer, it's difficult for them to pray. So at times, when we pray for interceding people's situations like that, you pray that God will help them in whatever they're facing. Another example I can give you: last week, Kevin came into our room, and he gave a sign, and I woke up, I said, "What's wrong, babe?" And he said, "The car's not working properly." I said, "Oh, Lord." Because that morning, he was supposed to have gone out and did a skydive that Luke had given to him as a birthday present, and he couldn't go anymore. That's quite sad, because he'd been looking forward to it so much. And I said, "No, that's it. Let's pray. Let's pray that God help him to the situation." Because he said, "No, they won't allow me to do the skydive anymore. That's, you know, impossible now." So now let's pray. Let's pray that God will help in the situation with this car. The situation with the car is a small thing, you might think, but it was a big thing. Because later on, when I was going up to London, I met up with my husband and he said, "The lady phoned him from the skydiving. Yes, you can do the skydiving again." So I said, "Yay, thank you, Father." So he's smiling again. And then he phoned me back to tell me that the problem with the car was only the oil. So he had to go get something in the car, but it worked. And it was a small thing, which was bothering Kevin a lot. And it could have become a bigger thing. But God is a God who hears our prayers, and God who wants to help us. So we have to connect with him, because he wants to help us in every area of our lives. So this type of prayer involves us praying for others, whatever they are facing in different situations they're facing. An example of a scripture is in Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 18, where it says, "For this reason, even since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking for God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of our heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people." The other one that we're speaking about is praise and worship. This type of prayer You're not asking God for something for yourself or for someone else. You're not asking God for direction or dedicating your life to what He has called you to do. You are, what you're doing in this time of prayer is just praising Him, thanking Him for all the many blessings that He has blessed you with. You want to tell Him how much you love Him, how grateful and thankful you are for what He has done for you in your life and for those ones around you. Perhaps He has helped you through your exams that you just finished writing. Perhaps He's helped you get a better job, the job that you've been waiting for. Perhaps He's helped you get a home that you've been looking forward to and you've been searching high and home for a home, but eventually you found a house that is your home that you're living in. He's helped you through a difficult situation that you are facing. Perhaps He's healed you from a sickness that you've been battling with. A good example of this is in Luke 2, verse 20. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, which were just as He had been told. So they came before, they were happy, like we were praising just now. We are marching on. They came marching on with joyfulness of happiness, what God has just revealed Himself. That was a big one. Another example of praise can be found in Psalm 95, verse 6 and 7. It says, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He, our God, we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if only you would hear His voice. Even Jesus Himself thanked God regarding His prayer concerning Lazarus, as He said, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. In Philippians 4, Paul advises us by saying, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I wrote my own poem, thanking God for who He is in my life. And in a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity, I'm going to give you 5 minutes, to actually, you might want to write a prayer, you might want to write a poem. It's up to your choice, however God leads you in your what He wants you to do. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to spend some time writing a prayer or a poem. At the end of the 5 minutes, whoever feels that they want to, please come up and share what God has been sharing with you. All right? My poem is, my God, where would I be without You? Thank You for sharing my life, being part of my life, for thinking of me, for being my guide, for helping me when life makes no sense, for always helping me for everything that I face, for never, ever giving up on me. I am so glad You're in my life. Thank You, my Father. Okay, so I'm going to give you some papers. Whoever feels would like to share the prayer, praise, can you come up and share with us, please?
Praise the Lord. It may surprise some of you, but this is my first attempt of writing a poem. I've never written one before, so forgive me. Praise, praise, praise. Why do we praise? An answer to prayer, healing, forgiveness, a new job, a restored relationship, and all such like. Yes, these are all important times that we praise. But if we limit our praise to these circumstances, then our praise life will be inefficient. Why? Because we are not just flesh and blood, but also we are spirit being. And God's provision in the spirit is far greater than what we see in the flesh. Therefore, we can praise at all times. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else?
What can I possibly say that would measure up to You? What can I possibly do that would measure up to You? How could You possibly love me as I am? Because I am made perfect by Your love and forgiveness, and I will never stop praising and thanking You with all that I could possibly give.
God, may we say to You, Your important in my life. Thanks to God for You are there, my way, for every single moment with You. Thanks God for every miracle in my life, for giving to me many, many. for all my life with you. Thanks you, my God, for tomorrow, for today. I stand on the main feet. And with my brother and sister, I watch. You are the only true God which never judged.
Anybody else?
This is just a brief one. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I thank you. Because without you, I can't do nothing. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, dear Father in heaven, for life, for health, for wealth, and everything else that you have done concerning me, whether seen or unseen, because you know it all when it comes to me. Yes, I say thank you, Father.
Amen. Any other lost person would like to come up?
Thank you, Father. My Lord, God. There's no God, no God but you. No God but you, no God after you. The Lord of Jesus, the King of Kings, the God of God. Mortal, invisible, and the only one of God. You are the only one with your power, please. My heart is full of your peace.
Thank you, mighty one, my King of Kings. Thank you for everything. You are the God who never failed, God who never changed, God who created me and the rest of my family and my friends. Your word about me has not been broken. You are always with me, and I thank you for everything. Amen.
Thank you, everybody. I'm going to hand back to Jean.
Do you know what was encouraging about that was actually to see everybody with their pen and their paper actually scribbling away. And I know some of you have kept it to yourself, and that's absolutely fine, but that was encouraging, you know, to see everybody take up their pen and their piece of paper and frantically start to write. And, you know, there are just so many things that we can say thank you to God for. Now, I've got a list in my Bible, and I wrote it myself a long time ago as a prayer, and I started to just write down, thank you, Lord, for. And then I started to write a list, and it went on for pages and pages and pages and pages, because we have just got so much to thank God for, so much to worship him for, so much to be grateful for. And today, that's all we've tried to do, is just bring you a taster that you will go away and start to research this a little bit more for yourself and just establish that deep, 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 meaningful relationship with God that I know we all want. You know, before we become a Christian, people often say from the pulpit, inside of every person there is a Jesus-shaped space. You know, and inside every Christian there is that prayer-shaped space that needs to be filled and worked on every single day. So just let me encourage you in that. We're just going to close in prayer now and just say thank you for your endurance for listening to us, but be encouraged and go away and research it for yourself. Father, we just thank you this morning that we do have so much to thank you for. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your care. We thank you for the fact that you love us regardless of who we are, and that we can't actually do anything more to make you love us more, because you love us so much. You have given so much for us. We thank you that you gave your son to die on a cross for us. We thank you for the healing power that is within you that you want to bestow on us. We thank you, Father, for the care that you give us day by day, that every single minute of every day, 24/7, you are there with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You walk before us. You cover our back. You walk beside us. And Father, today we just say thank you, thank you, thank you for being our wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Father and for all that you give to us. We can never thank you enough. We just come before you. We worship you. We honour you. And we give you all the praise and glory that we can possibly give to you. We worship you. We love you with our hearts. Because, Father, you are so, so good to us. You do so many things that are just every single minute of every day. We just know you're there beside us, watching out for us, keeping us, even the small things. Father, we heard how Sandy said she prayed for something very small and you were interested. We pray for things that are absolutely huge, worldwide situations, and you're interested. We come to you and we pray for things that are going on in our families and you're interested. And we come to you and we ask you to protect our children, to protect our loved ones. And you do exactly what it says on the packet. You do exactly what it says. And Father, this morning we just say thank you, thank you, thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are and for loving us. Father, thank you. Amen.